Before you left there, though, you were going to have a piece of memorabilia, like a helmet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was in the Killenbruder Forest. One German group was hidden out there. They wanted to fight, and they wouldn't leave, so they told us to clear the forest. While we were in the forest, this one guy jumped at me, and I didn't look to see if he had a weapon or what he was going to do. I just shot him. His helmet flew off, and I looked at that helmet, and I knew this is about the last battle of the war. I always wanted a German helmet. That's going to be mine. So I took that helmet. But my left-handed baseball pitcher, that was one of my squad leaders, got killed there. He would always drink, and he'd stand up on the back of the tank, and he'd sing, "I eat when I'm hungry, and I drink when I'm dry, and if a tree don't fall on me, I'll live till I die." And he was singing that, they told me, and he got it right between the eyes.
Wow.
There he was laying on the side of the road. He was covered up, and I could see his feet. And I says, "That's McRae." And they said, "Yep, that is McRae." And it was the last battle we had.
So did you bring that helmet home?
Oh, yeah. My grandson's got it now. I promised it to him. I mailed it to him recently. I got pictures of it, and I used to have it to show, but I'm starting to get rid of all that stuff.
So the end of the war was May?
They say 7th, 9th. Those 2 days is when the different treaties were signed, or whatever you want to call them.
7th, 8th, and 9th.
Yeah.
When you knew that the war was over, there was a celebration time then, wasn't
there?
Yeah,
we were told that it's all over. We were at a town, I think it was called Lingate, if I remember rightly, but anyway, a bunch of us started to celebrate, and we had a brand new company commander. We were getting new commanders all the time because they were getting sent off, or they run off, or they got shot or something. So we went and got this company commander, and we drug him out of his bed and threw him out in the city street. The first sergeants right around behind us hollered, "You can't do this. You can't do this." "Yeah, we can." Anyway, he was a good-natured guy. I mean, he was a brand new first lieutenant, and he didn't know anything, you know, and he knew what we'd been through and that we had to celebrate. So he took it great. That's how we celebrated that night.
How did you come back then to the United States?
They called me to the CP, the company command post, because I was the one with the most points in my outfit at that time that was still there. They offered me, number one, a commission, and they did that a couple of times before, and I refused them.
Why did you refuse the commission?
I didn't want to, because what they would do, the habit was, if they gave you a commission, you couldn't stay with the guys that you were in charge of. They sent you to another outfit, to a brand new group. That was one thing. And another thing, the guys really wanted me to stay there, and I wanted to stay there, so I didn't want to be a lieutenant. 3 times they offered, another time when I got back to the States before I was discharged, but I told them, "No, I don't want anything like that." They said, "Well, what do you want?" I said, "I'm going to get the hell out of here. That's what I want to do." They said, "Well, you sure have enough points." So they sent me back to a group that some other guys had had points from other outfits, and they put us on a ship, the Mariposa, and sent us home.
What port did you come into?
Boston. I wanted to see the Statue of Liberty, and I didn't get to see it going out or coming in. Yeah, I went into Boston.
Then you ended up back at
Jefferson Barracks. That's where I was discharged, at Jefferson Barracks.
You had a disability, though, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Cool. VFW was there at the separation center. I was getting ready to leave because they gave me my discharge and that, and they said, "Were you wounded?" And I said, "Yeah." They said, "Go back and sign for compensation." They made me do that, and I'm glad they did, because as the years went on, my eyesight got bad because I'd been in an explosion, and my legs don't work right, and I had a lot of concussion, and my ears went bad. So my compensation had, of course, been raised. I've been happy to get it. I worked until 92, and then I quit when I was 69.
What was your profession after the war?
Well, it ended up being in the lumber business. Lindsley Lumber in Florida, and then Lone Star Industries. I was a merchandising man for 162 stores at one time, and visited with the different heads of different organizations about making deals for supplies and that.
What was it like then to be heading home and to get back into civilian life again, and there was an adjustment? How many years and months were you in the war?
I was in from 40 to 45. It was 30 months in what they call combat situations, 30 months in that. So when I got home, I wasn't very good. My mother, I don't think I treated her right. I didn't treat my brothers right. I didn't even hardly recognize them, in a way. I got to just walk in the streets of St. Louis. I'd walk from North St. Louis all the way downtown and back, and just walk all over the city, walk. I could ride a bus, but I walked. I just couldn't find what I wanted to do. And I took a couple of jobs in a printing business because I had some at Hadley. I didn't like the union because I was very independent. I had to join the printers union. And in the printers union, the first meeting I went to, they were discussing the contract. But nobody could say anything. They just telling them how it was going to be. I started to say something. They said, "You don't say anything." I said, "I'm leaving." So I went to the door, and the sergeant of arms, or whatever you call him, at the door says, "You can't leave." And I said, "The hell I can't leave. This is the United States." So I just shoved him aside, and I left. I had an uncle that was the president of the Optical Workers Union, so this president of the Printers Union got a hold of my uncle and told him to make me understand how unions worked. And I says, "You don't have to make me understand." I says, "I'm free to do what I want to do. They're not going to tell me I can't say anything. What the hell's going on?"
It was what you were fighting for.
Yeah, and it was a surprise. And then finally, I worked in the printing business a little bit, and then I met the girl that I married, which helped a lot.
Your wife's name?
Gurney is her first name.
Yeah,
that's a Southern Illinois name, G-U-R-N-E-Y, and sometimes that's a man's name, too, so sometimes she gets mail Mr. Gurney in. She had to move with me. We moved 23 times over different parts of the United States, trying to settle down. I couldn't settle down. I worked in a veterans hospital in Los Angeles and in Tucson, Arizona. Then I finally settled back in Florida and start working in a lumber business then, and I settled down some.
How long have you been an Oklahoman?
Bought a house in 78 here. I did work 7 years away from here, but I kept the house. So we've been resident since 1978.
What a remarkable story this has been.
Well, it's kind of a long one, but I don't mind telling it.